Guy, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, first of all, why is Bowie's glam image and the Ziggy Stardust persona, why were they so monumental in the 70s for changing ideas of gender in rock and roll?
Oh, well, the way I look at it is through the ideology of liberalism. So the liberal artist as the socially progressive artist is really key to rock music, and that sort of ideology of liberalism that runs throughout rock music, and it's connected to constructions of identity and notions of authenticity.
Now, Bowie's spoken about his androgynous image as a calculated artistic move rather than a deliberate cultural statement. Do you think the authenticity of that decision was a factor in his success as an icon?
Yes, definitely. I mean, what fascinates me is this idea that it's an artistic statement, or he's a liberal artist, so he's free from the conforming to the industry's desire to sell records and this type of thing. So he's free as an artist, and in that sense, he's constructing something that's interpreted as being socially progressive. But ultimately, it's still liberalism. It's still tying back to notions of the self that stem from the Enlightenment and bourgeois right-wing beliefs about liberal values and the notion that the true self should be able to be free from constraints on how they can express themselves, who they can be, and so on. I mean, in this context, obviously, it's being used liberal with a little L, socially progressive, as opposed to liberal with a large L, i.e., economically liberal. So, that's a fascinating juxtaposition of liberal in this context, looking at, particularly when you think about Bowie in relation to the actual industry of music as well.
Now, what do you think it is about musicians in particular that seems to allow them to speak to people and position themselves as icons above other celebrity groups?
Musicians, I guess music is... I mean, if you look at the contemporary cognitive science, music triggers the brain, energizes the brain, activates the brain more so than a lot of other activities. And playing a musical instrument takes that further because it adds motor skills. So, I mean, it's a powerful medium, and it comes straight through a radio and it's straight into your brain. And it's you can think about that in many ways in terms of the brain's way of healing and these types of things. But in terms of the status of a musician like Bowie and his status in relation to other celebrity status within societies, then I guess it's about that, the pure power of music and the emotive side of that, and when that's connecting to a particular social movement or a social group, it starts to take on its own meaning. But the meaning's necessarily polysemantic. It's interpreted in many different ways by the different groups who listen to it. So, for example, the minority groups you're referring to with regard to Bowie's androgynous image may have had a different understanding of its meaning as opposed to Bowie, who was saying, well, it was an artistic statement, or it was to do with my art, not necessarily to do with changing the world. But then it does change the world because it's interpreted in that way by those groups.
Now, things have changed a lot since the 70s, obviously. We've seen a lot of different movements. We've seen hip-hop, we've seen the whole Riot Girl thing. What current issues of marginalisation do you think are being best addressed by artists in 2016?
Wow, current issues of marginalisation. I'm interested in Iranian culture and music, and I'm fascinated by the extent to which, because I'm interested in the Aksak rhythm, which is a 9-beat cycle. Cyclic rhythm, and it's beautiful rhythm. It's evident in Turkish music. You'd associate it with Turkish music, but it's Persian. So when the Persian Empire was this large empire that took up that region, it's a rhythm that is an ancient rhythm. And studying it, it's really interesting to study that rhythm and to talk about it. And you're not necessarily politicizing it within a particular way in reference to the age of terrorism and this type of thing, but ultimately simply because of the context of being in Australia, you start to talk about this particular rhythm from Iran, and it takes on this politicized momentum in a way. So it's interesting to think about how groups are marginalized. I mean, I think art, generally speaking, is a very divisive phenomenon. Perhaps it wasn't always divisive in the sense that if you look at evolutionary history and theories, the groups that were using art had more social cohesion and were more likely to survive. But in our contemporary society, we use art to differentiate ourselves. And I'm borrowing from Bourdieu here, but I mean, we're looking at the issue of consuming a particular form of music to differentiate yourself from other people, and then that leading to divisiveness within society more often than not. And then that divisiveness is often accompanied with violence. And there's some great literature around about popular music and violence by Johnson and Clunan, which talks about this. Because we think of music, we think of popular music in particular as something that leads to social cohesion and that's celebratory and these types of things. But ultimately, it's actually quite divisive, and it can also lead to or be associated with violence or generate violence, you know.
Well, Guy, thank you so much for joining us on The Daily this morning.
No worries. Thanks for having me.